a starry sky at night, the spinning globe of the Earth with two entwining circles around it. A universal picture. In white letters, Edward Moon in charge of production. A banner hangs across a street. St. Louis welcomes National Stockmen's Exposition 1884. A marching brass band. Universal presents James Stewart, Maureen O'Hara, Brian Keith, The Rare Breed. The sidewalks of the St. Louis streets are filled with people cheering, children wave balloons. Behind the marching band are cowboys on horseback. One does a headstand on the saddle. Another has a woman in his arms as his horse rears. The horsemen are followed by cattle with long horns, with more cowhands on horseback herding them through the town. Two women stand together at the front of a group of people watching the parade. One in lavender and white, the younger in a green checked dress. They each wear a hat. The mother, Martha, has a large, wide-brimmed, frilly hat. Her daughter, Hillary, a neat derby hat with a flower arrangement at the front. They cross the street after the parade is gone and make their way past a group of Native Americans pointing at their headgear. Written by Rick Hardman, produced by William Allen, directed by Andrew V. McCaughlin. Martha and Hillary make their way to a rectangular corral with slatted fencing. Behind them, a smart man in a grey three-piece suit. In the corral, a cowboy jumps from his horse and grabs a bullock by its horns.
What on earth is he doing?
It's called bulldogging, ma'am. That's Bulldog Burnett. He works for my outfit.
Well, it's a perfectly silly way to handle cattle, if you ask me.
Burnett gets to his feet and salutes Martha, who grins.
My name is Charles Ellsworth. I can tell by your speech that you're from England. May I ask what has brought you to our fair shore?
A ship.
Hillary, we brought some cattle over. We're from Herefordshire. Now, if you'll excuse us, please. Come along, Hillary.
I know a countryman of yours. John Taylor. I'd like you to meet him. He has a spread next to ours.
He bested you again, Simons.
Mr. Taylor, them critters Burnett draws just seem to lay down and roll over when they see him coming.
Now, fans, how I probably bulldog their paws, they know what to expect. Thank you. You're next, Saigon. Right.
Burnett collects winnings and rides out.
Hey, Gerd! Jeff!
Sam, look who's
Jeff
here!
Jeff Herder, how are you? Hi, Gerd! Well, Jeff, it's been a long time.
More than a year since he caught that horn.
But I ain't through punching cows yet. Not by a long shot. Taylor said he took care of things.
He promised a lot of things. All Jeff got was $40 and a ticket to St. Louis.
Formerly of England, and now from Texas. Mr. John Taylor.
How do you do?
Mr. Ellsworth tells me you brought these Herefords over. If Mr. Evans is about, I'd like to talk to him about them.
My husband was killed in an accident aboard ship.
I'm deeply sorry, ma'am.
But it's indeed a blessing to find someone at last, Mr. Taylor, who knows Herefords. They were bid in yesterday.
By dairy farmer. What we were paid hardly covered our transportation.
Let's show them Vindicator Hillary.
Hillary leads them to a pen where a large, stocky, brown and white Hereford bull surprises Ellsworth.
Oh, it's all right. Vindicator's really very gentle.
My daughter has a special affection for Vindicator. She raised him.
Are you going to sell that bull, Miss Evans?
I'm afraid I must. We need the money. He'll be auctioned at noon today.
Well, you won't find much market for that muley bull here.
Muley?
Why, your bull has no horns. He's a freak in that respect.
Mr. Ellsworth, Vindicator's lack of horns is a product of breeding, and it is not a freak condition.
Please, ladies, I didn't intend to start an argument. My partner, Alex Bowen, raises the cattle and ships to me. I'm in the packing end of the game.
Oh, I see. A butcher.
Hillary, please.
One morning you'll wake up to a train whistle and there won't be any more cattle drives. Yes, sir, in a few years it'll all be gone. Leastwise, the way we knew it.
Don't start faulting what you can't stand up to harder just because you're finished.
Well, now, I still got a hoop and a holler left in me.
Oh, sure. Somebody buys you a bottle.
Now, wait a minute, Simons. Here's a man that broke most of the trails you're riding today.
Man? All I see is a deadbeat on crutches.
She's no better.
Watch your wallets, man. She'll put the bite on you for sure.
Burnett punches Simons into Vindicator's pen. The bull butts him out.
Close the gate!
Burnett and Simons roll back into the pen. A spectator hands his hat to another and starts to climb in. only to be hit by his neighbour. Others join in the affray, tailored to a spectator.
Avery, get in there and stop him!
Yes, sir! Simons!
No sooner is Mabry in the pen than he's knocked down. More join the free-for-all.
Can't somebody put a stop to this?
All right, ma'am, I'll protect you.
Don't you worry about that bull. I'll see that you get a good price.
Ellsworth puts his arms around Martha, who elbows him off. Someone's punched onto Vindicator's back. Hillary.
Get off my bull!
Burnett and Simons are still slugging it out.
Shoot me, ma'am!
The bull breaks free from Hillary.
Vindicator! That bull is loose!
Don't worry, ma'am, I'll get him!
The bull trundles along past the other pens. Burnett leaps over the fence onto Vindicator, but there are no horns to grab. The bulldog ends up on the ground. Vindicator charges towards Hillary.
Look out, Miss, he's headed this way. Come on, up you go.
You're the one that has to be looked out for.
What kind of a bull is that?
Whistling, Hillary leads Vindicator away.
Thank you, Mr. Burnett. You all right, Sam?
Huh? Oh, thanks, Kirk.
Gee, you can't bulldog a bull that doesn't have any horns. I didn't break anything. I just chipped my pride, I guess.
That seems to hurt worse than anything, don't it, Sam?
Everyone has a good laugh, except Simons.
I'll kill Burnett. From now on, Mabry has top hand. You'll take orders from him.
You'll notice the hornless condition being an innovation. That should meet with the approval of each and every one who must move or ship cattle.
Mother, if that butcher bids, I'll die. Oh, now, really, Hillary, you must learn to trust people more. I had a long talk with Mr. Ellsworth, and he's assured me that he'll be bidding for his partner in Texas. Mr. Bowen is extremely interested in improving his stock.
Now, who'll start the bidding?
$700.
$700 is bid by Mr. Charles Ellsworth.
Eight.
$800 for Mr. John Taylor.
$900 for the lovely ladies from England.
If she'd had an elephant up there, Ellsworth would have bid on that, too.
$1,000.
$1,000 from Taylor of Texas.
$1,100.
Thank you, sir.
Don't go away, Sam. I have a job.
Well, Bowen doesn't want that muley bull.
$1,100 for Mr. Ellsworth in behalf of Mr. Alex Bowen of Texas.
$1,200.
$1,500.
$1,500 from that Sterling.
Have you lost your mind?
$16.
$2,000.
$2,000 is bid. $2,000 once. $2,000 twice. Sold to Mr. Charles Ellsworth for $2,000.
Vindicator, God save our gracious queen.
Now, ladies, if you will kindly step forward for your signatures on the bill of sale.
Sam, I want you to get that bull on the Dodge City train tonight and get it to Bowen.
I'm not taking that knobhead anywhere. I'm working for Bowen, not you.
And you won't be working for anyone if you keep talking.
That suits me just fine. You get yourself another man. I quit.
There goes Bulldog Burnett.
Just a cowpoke, miss. Long on muscle, short on brain. I'll get a good hand to take Vindicator West. You can depend on that.
I'm sure I can, Mr. Ellsworth.
Suppose you drop around the hotel this afternoon and pick up your money. I'm in room 22.
With a faux smile, Martha leads Hillary away.
Burnett!
Taylor strides up to Burnett.
I've got a business deal for you.
Same kind of a deal you handed Jeff Harder?
I'll give you $500 for that bull.
Oh, it's not mine to sell.
Bowen doesn't want that Hereford, and neither does Ellsworth, but I do, and I'm willing to pay for it.
Well, Ellsworth paid $2,000 for it.
I'm buying a bull, not female companionship. All right. I'll go $1,000. I'll have Mabry and Simons take the noon train to Dodge and meet you there tomorrow.
Burnett looks at the $1,000.
Well, I'm... All right, I'll deliver it.
A dining table with oysters and bowls and champagne in a nearby bucket.
Coming, dear lady.
Ellsworth preens himself in a mirror, then opens his door to Burnett.
What thunder do you want, Burnett?
You quit. I want to talk to you about that.
Ellsworth checks the corridor, then shuts the door.
Well, get to it. No, I've decided to deliver that bull to Bowen.
All right, fine. You get it out of town and don't bother me about it anymore. Now, look, Sam. Be short, be polite, and then be on your way. Welcome, welcome. Oh, Mr. Burnett is just leaving to put Vindicator on the train. Have a good trip, Sam.
Then you've changed your opinion about Vindicator, Mr. Burnett.
Well, no, ma'am. I just thought I might enjoy the trip hearing them cattlemen laughing about that animal all the way to Dodge.
I'm sure Mr. Bowen won't laugh.
Yeah, that bull's a thing that might tickle him a good
deal. Give my regards to Bowen. Have a good trip, Sam. And now, my dear Mrs. Evans, shall we conclude our little business? And this calls for champagne.
Meatpacking Romeo.
Ellsworth places money in Martha's bag.
When that 2,000's gone, Martha, you can tap me for more. I'm going to lay St. Louis at your feet.
Oh, I'm afraid there won't be time for that. You see, Hillary and I are leaving for England tonight.
But you can't be serious. I can do a lot for you. I already have.
Mr. Ellsworth, I realize that a woman alone has to expect some nonsense from the adventurous male, but I sold you a Hereford bull. Nothing more.
Well, I buy beef for 10 cents a pound. Now I know companionship comes higher.
I'm giving you your money back. There is no sale.
It's too late for that, Martha. I'm the legal owner of that bull.
You said that Vindicator would be delivered to your partner in Texas. That was the condition of the sale.
You run out of me now and your bull will wind up on that table tomorrow night.
He will not. Vindicator will be used for breeding in Texas. I shall see to that.
Well, it's getting around train time. I still have to load that darn bull.
It might take a little doing.
Sure would. Here's a kind of a mash note, Gert. Don't let Jeff read it. I always did try and steal his girl. Well, I'll see you next year.
Mash note? Why, Sam always was so woman shy, it took a team just to drag him into a dance.
$1,000?
Gert takes the money from the envelope Burnett gave her. A train steams through the countryside. Burnett's in a cattle wagon with Vindicator.
Come on, you big red no-horn brute, get up. Come on, get up.
A hatch behind him slides open.
Oh, hello, Mr. Burnett.
What are you? Here now, you there's been a mistake.
Mistake?
Well, you're not supposed to be on it. You're on the wrong train.
It's going to Dodge City, isn't it?
Yes, it's going to...
Oh, then we're on the right train, Mr. Burnett. We're going to the Bowen Ranch with you and Vindicator.
Well, that's just about as crazy an idea as you walking all the way up here on top of this train. You just did that, didn't you?
Yes. How are you getting along with Vindicator, Mr. Burnett?
Well, I'm not getting along with him at all. He's a useless hunk of gristle, and besides, he's lying on my blankets.
Vindicator is not useless. He'll certainly improve those scrubby old longhorns of yours.
Why, he's so handsome, the cows will fight to present themselves to him.
Well, now, what kind of talk is that? What kind of a thing is that for a young lady to say?
The facts of life are no mystery to me, Mr. Burnett. After all, I am a cattle breeder's daughter, you know.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
My father taught me to talk about such things. Bloodlines and breeding were decent topics in our house.
Nobody's saying anything about your father. I would just... What's the idea of crashing in here on me like this?
Nothing sacred about a cattle car.
Well, this one happens to be my bedroom, and you have not been invited in here. Now, come on, you bison belly. I'm going to teach you how to behave. Come on, get up.
Don't you dare kick a helpless animal. And Vindicator doesn't appreciate name-calling either.
You mean I've hurt his feelings?
I mean Vindicator's lineage is traceable back to James the First, which is a great deal better than you can do, I'm sure. Why, he's practically royalty. And you might as well learn how to handle him properly. Now, listen to me, if you please.
The bull gets to its feet.
There you are. Now you may try it, Mr. Burnett. God save the Queen.
Oh, hold on. No, I have my rights, and I'm not going to whistle a tune for any Royal James the First muley bull. Now you get back up this ladder here, and I'll help you.
I don't need your help, thank you. The female is no less agile than the male.
That's right, young lady. Goodbye.
Burnett shuts the hatch. When he turns, Vindicator is back down on the blanket. The train approaches a bend. Heeding the whistle, Burnett opens the hatch and clambers out. Hillary is spitefully hopping along the roof of the train, but Ned chases her. The carriage she's on top of takes the bend. She staggers and falls. Burnett grabs her arm to prevent her falling to the ground. He helps her back up.
Holy Moses! Come on, get down off here before you fall and break your neck.
He escorts her to the ladder at the rear of the carriage.
Careful now.
Burnett enters from the back of the carriage. Hillary turns and sees him just as a conductor strolls up.
Mrs. Evans, your berths are ready.
Oh, thank you. There's Mr. Burnett. Oh, Mr. Burnett. Run along to bed, Hillary. I want to have a talk with Mr. Burnett.
You're wasting your time, Mother. He's obstinate, ill-tempered, and quite lacking in education.
Perhaps. But he does have a rough intelligence which could be refined, don't you think?
Don't be long, Mother.
He climbs the ladder.
Now, really, Mr. Burnett, I don't bite.
She doesn't see him.
Man overboard!
Oh, hold on, ma'am.
Oh, Mr. Burnett, I am sorry, but I thought you'd fallen over the railing.
No, ma'am. I might jump. I'd never fall.
Oh, of course. Well now, Mr. Burnett, since we're traveling together, I see no point in our avoiding each other. There are many arrangements to make.
In the first place, we're not traveling together. We're just on the same train. And if I was you, I'd get off.
I intend to deliver Vindicator personally to Mr. Bone.
No, but I'm doing that for Ellsworth, and you don't figure in it at all, ma'am. Now, my advice to you is to get the first train back to St. Louis and then get on home where you belong.
Mr. Burnett, you may bulldog a steer, but you cannot bulldog me. Vindicator represents generations of selective breeding, and I intend to see that he's properly placed.
Oh, now, please, ma'am. I've had all the breeding I can take for one day. The thing I'm trying to get over to you is that this trip's dangerous, that there's no telling what might happen to you in Dodge.
Surely our lives will be safe in your hands.
Well, I don't want your lives in my hands. I got enough trouble with my own. The thing for you to do is turn back at Dodge and trust me to deliver that bull of yours.
Mr. Burnett, you will either act as our guide to the Bowen Ranch, or I will get someone else. Good night, sir.
She heads inside, leaving him on the observation platform. He glowers and climbs the ladder. Day. Dodge City Station. A pair of horses and a wagon wait at the freight office. Seated nearby are Simons and Mabry. Hearing the whistle, they get to their feet. Puffing out black smoke, the train passes a tall water tower. Simons narrows his eyes, turns, and nods to Mabry. Wearing a bowler hat and a black coat, Hillary is on the carriage's platform.
Would you get our baggage, please?
A man with a gaunt, rugged face wearing a flat peaked cap and a scarf ogles Hillary as Simons moves away. Passengers struggle past Hillary.
Is there something wrong?
Why, no, ma'am.
Hillary holds a riding crop. She walks to the cattle car.
Come on, come on, move, you stupid...
You fellas are gonna wreck this whole deal. You don't know these two women I got on my neck. They're bound and determined to come with me the whole way to Bowen's.
They got paid $2,000 for this bull, so they're out of it. Come on, Mabry.
No, you horn in now, they'll call the sheriff.
You horn in and I'll call the sheriff. You made a deal with Taylor.
Now, hold on, both of you. This whole thing is shady all the way around. All I want is the bull.
And you'll get it. You'll get it. Now, I'll meet you over at the saloon. We'll work something out.
All right. Come on, Simons.
All right. But don't make me have to come looking for you, Burnett.
You give me 20 minutes. I'll be there. Now, come on. Come on. Come on, you muley red rump roast. Come on.
All you have to do is whistle, Mr. Burnett.
What are you doing here?
I thought you might need some help. But I see you've had some.
She overheard the whole conversation. Hillary steps down the ramp, turns, watches, and waits. Martha strolls up as the bull moves.
Why, that's excellent, Mr. Burnett. You've learned to handle him very well.
Vindicator, you're a fickle-hearted muley bull.
Oh, I'm afraid Hillary is jealous, Mr. Burnett. Oh, how soon can we be on our way?
Well, I've got to get a wagon and all sorts of supplies and horses.
Oh, yes, of course, but that won't take very long. I've asked the baggage man to take our things to the hotel, so we'll wait there for you.
But, ma'am, I just don't think you ought to be so dead set on this trip.
Oh, but I am dead set. So let's not waste the day and talk.
Burnett chews, scowls, and hitches up his trousers as he watches Martha join her daughter. The baggage man trundles a trolley full of trunks and leads Vindicator as well, accompanied by the women.
One of them say that it was a shady deal all round.
Oh, Mother, you haven't been listening.
Of course I have, dear.
But I think we should go to the sheriff and have Mr. Burnett thrown in the hoosegow.
The what?
The jail. Jug.
Old Bailey.
Why on earth should we do a thing like that?
Because they plan to kidnap Vindicator and Mr. Burnett is in cahoots with them.
What's this cahoots? Sounds awful.
Cahoots? Conspiracy.
Anyway, he said he'd meet them in the pub. It has something to do with that Mr. Taylor.
Hillary, Mr. Taylor is an Englishman.
So was Captain Kidd. Come on. If we can find them, I'll show you.
Hillary takes her mother by the hand. In the saloon...
Now, wait a minute, Simon. You go out on that street and we'll all go to jail. Charlie, give us another drink.
I don't want your whiskey. Come on, Mabry. I'm not letting those two women ride away with that bull. We're going right straight through Taylor's place, and I'll stake that bull out at Sand Creek. You come in at night and take him, I'll say he's straight off.
Come on, Mabry.
You're just going to stir things up here.
You bet I am.
Simons punches Burnett out onto the sidewalk in front of Martha.
Oh. Well, now... You two women go over to the wagon. I got a little business to attend to here. I'll be with you directly.
He walks back through the swinging saloon doors. Simons hits him with a chair. Burnett crashes against the bar, then turns to punch Simons. They end up behind the bar.
Does that look like a conspiracy to you?
The thieves have fallen out.
I'm giving the orders here, Simons. I said quit it.
Simon left hooks Mabry, who falls through the window. He gets up and walks back through. The ladies enter the saloon as the Burnett-Simons fight goes on. The men haul down a rail of saddles. Martha and Hillary shelter by a wall under a sign, No Limit Poker. Burnett is knocked into a curtain and stumbles into an adjoining room. Simons follows him. Burnett tumbles out and Simons leaps on him. Burnett throws the curtain over Simons' head. Burnett swings Simons round with the curtain, then flings him behind the piano.
Just look at that!
The two continue to hit out behind the piano, overturning it. Burnett dives onto Simons.
Those ruffians!
The two end up in front of Martha.
Now stop this at once! This is too much! Drop that gun!
How dare you hit that man?
He's going to shoot me.
Now, really, Mr. Burnett, you have a predisposition to violence of which I heartily disapprove.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, let's be on our way before you cause more trouble.
Yes, ma'am.
Come along, Hillary.
Yes, ma'am. Excuse me, ma'am, you're on my hat.
I see what you're up against, all right. Sand Creek, day after tomorrow. And that bull better be there.
Mary looks across the saloon, grimaces, then saunters over to Simons and helps him up.
Very well, Mr. Burnett, if you are ready.
That horse is a little hard to handle, ma'am. If you can't ride, maybe you better stay here.
We have ridden on occasion, Mr. Burnett. Haven't we, Hillary?
Martha tugs on the reins. The horse rears up twice, then gallops off down the street. Burnett leaps onto his horse and chases after Martha.
Just one thing, ma'am. If you're dead set and making this trip to Texas, you're going the wrong way.
Thank you, Mr. Burnett. You are a very capable guide.
Well, I can tell north from south. Now, if you'll just...
They trot back in the opposite direction. Out in the open, Hillary sits in a wagon pulled by a single horse. Vindicator is tied to the rear. Martha and Burnett gallop up.
Well, where you been, ma'am? I was about to go out and look for you.
The only thing I can see, Mr. Burnett, is that you had the better horse.
Oh, we'll swap off and do it again.
Oh.
She dismounts. He takes her reins.
Thank you, Sam. Hillary, would you like to ride a little while?
Oh, no, thank you, Mother.
Oh.
Martha climbs up beside Hillary, who moves the horse and wagon on.
I'll just drive along. Just drive and drive and drive while you two consort.
Oh, really, Hillary? Do you call an innocent canter consorting?
No, but I call a half a day gallop a romp.
Martha frowns. They ride through green hilly countryside dotted with trees and bushes. The bull and Martha's horse behind the wagon. The journey continues. Burnett is beside Martha on the wagon. Hillary, half asleep, rides Vindicator.
What do you think now, Mr. Burnett, of Vindicator's ability to travel?
Oh, you're doing all right.
As well as a longhorn, would you say?
Well, it's hard to say. Come winter, the cattle have to travel around a good bit looking for feed. And in summers, every once in a while, there's a drought.
Well, a few wells and catch basins would solve that problem.
Now, Alec Bowen's not going to change the countryside to accommodate one bull.
Well, Mr. Bowen cannot stop progress. One day, this whole range will be occupied by white-faced Hereford cattle. You'll see it happen.
Hillary leans forward on Vindicator and falls asleep on its broad shoulders. Evening, she grooms Vindicator.
Well, I hung onto his horns, and that fool steer ran a mile. Me flapping like laundry in a high wind, finally stopped and looked at me real sorrowful. And then he just flopped down, disgusted.
And you were only 16.
And from that time on, they took to calling me Bulldog.
From what I saw, things don't seem to have changed very much.
Here, I'll get you some more coffee.
A bullet hits the coffee pot. Martha clings to Burnett.
You all right?
Yes, and you?
If anyone's interested, Vindicator and I are all right, too.
Been a stray shot.
Funny that a stray shot should just happen to heat our coffee pot.
Now, Miss Hillary, don't start dreaming up any more trouble. I think maybe better I'll turn in. Got to be up before daybreak. Come on. I'll take care of Vindicator.
Burnett looks around as the two women walk away, a cape round their shoulders. Vindicator follows the whistling bulldogger. Mabry rides up to Simons, who holds a rifle.
Did you fire that shot?
Oh, just reminding Burnett to show up at Sand Creek.
Al, I told you once, and I'm telling you again. I'll handle this.
Mabry, out here you ain't telling me nothing.
He pokes the rifle in Mabry's face and walks away. The two women lie beside each other under blankets. Burnett leads Vindicator to a tree and tethers him to it. He walks towards his horse and spins round as he hears a noise behind him. Hillary strolls up.
There's your saddle.
Well, thank you. Your mother up?
No, I just thought I'd help you on your way.
What's gotten into you now?
Oh, come now. That shot was a signal from Taylor's men. You're taking Vindicator to them. So go on and good riddance.
You're dead wrong. I was just going to get you up.
Oh, I'll just bet you were.
I was and I am. Time to get up, ma'am. Come on, roust out.
If you have any decency, you'll go. Vindicator will be better off with Taylor, and my mother can certainly do without you.
Hillary! What on earth
I know
are
what
you...
you're up to. You've decided to play Mr. Ellsworth's game. Mr. Burnett is just like him.
He certainly is not like him.
No? One was willing to buy a bull he didn't want, the other to sell one he didn't own. It's just the same. Only this time you don't care. You can't see it because you don't want to.
Sam, is there any truth in this?
Mother, I know what I heard.
Sam.
I'm just telling you I got up to get an early start, and what you heard in Dodge doesn't have anything to do with us.
You're calling me a liar.
I'm just saying that you misunderstood something and imagined more.
And I suppose I only imagine that you're trying to win my mother's affections.
Hillary, that question is most certainly not to the point.
It's the whole point, Mother. And Mr. Burnett knows it.
Burnett smarts. Hillary walks away from them and he half smiles.
Martha, Vindicator is going to be delivered to Alex Bowen. And the sooner we move, the sooner we'll get there.
Very well, sir. Let's move.
Along a used track, Burnett gallops on ahead when he sees a wire fence barring their way.
All right, hold up. Give me the axe behind the seat.
Martha hands it to him. He rides over to the fence and dismounts.
Wire. No wire the whole world. Telegraph wire. Barbed wire.
This must be private property.
There's always been free passage across this range. Taylor may own these sections. He's got no right to wire.
Do you mean that we're going on to Taylor's ranch?
We're leaving it. All right, Martha, bring the wagon through. Let's make time.
Are you satisfied now, Hillary? I am.
She urges on the horse, pulling the wagon, and guides it through the gap in the fence created by Burnett. Hillary on horseback trots beside Vindicator and the mounted bulldogger. They ride towards less fertile land. Burnett throws the axe back into the wagon. They reach dusty, arid, hilly terrain, dirt being kicked up by the horse's hooves. Mabry and Simons pull up at the gap in the fence.
They ought to be moving into Boss Canyon about now. Burnett had no intention of stopping at Sand Creek. We better go tell Taylor.
You're all through telling, Mabry. $3,000 waiting for me in that canyon will get me all the way to Mexico. You're getting off right here.
You're crazy, Simons. Put that gun away.
Start running.
Simons guns down Mabry, who ends up tangled in the barbed wire fencing cut by Burnett. Simons gallops in the direction the others took. In Boss Canyon...
Mother?
Yes?
May I ride with you for a bit?
Of course, dear.
Hillary dismounts and ties her horse to the wagon.
Aye.
Burnett rides back to them.
Better keep moving along. A few more miles, we'll be out of this.
He looks ahead to the noise.
The cattle up in there.
What's that noise?
Horns.
Horns?
Cattle horns. I'll be right back. You follow along slow.
Both women have removed their coats and sit on the wagon in their white long-sleeved blouses. Burnett rides on across the dry ground and disappears from their view as they move more sedately after him. Burnett speeds round a bend and sees a rider leading a herd of cattle.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Sam.
Where are you moving the stock?
To Dodge. I'm going to cash them in and be my own boss.
Bowen know about this?
Well, Pa might miss the cattle, but he won't miss me. I figure he owes me something for my time.
You all alone?
Felipe's back there pushing the drag.
Well, don't crowd him too much. I got some people up ahead here.
Right.
Burnett and Jamie lead the cattle at a steady pace down the canyon between the hills. Felipe rounds up some stragglers. The two women drive cautiously forward as they near the oncoming cattle, unaware that above them, sitting on his horse on the peak of the craggy hill, is Simons. Simons removes his rifle from its saddle holster and watches as the two parties move closer without being able to see each other because of the twisty track in the canyon. He He replaces his rifle and trots down the rocky hillside. The riders below are still oblivious of his presence. He gets lower down, stops, and pulls out his handgun. He shoots Felipe, then waves the yellow blanket. He charges down behind the cattle, starting a stampede. Felipe pulls himself to his feet. Burnett. Burnett and Jamie fire their guns to keep the cattle moving away from them, while Simons chases them from the rear. The dust screen created by the kicking hooves obscures the cattle from Simons's view. Burnett and Jamie move ahead of the cattle, now moving at some speed. Martha pulls up the wagon when she sees the approaching riders and cattle as they round a bend. Jamie gallops ahead of Burnett and leaps from his horse onto the wagon. He climbs over onto the seat and grabs the reins from Martha. Jamie tries to keep the wagon ahead of the stampeding longhorns. As they come to a bend, the wagon tilts over, the women fall out, and the wagon rolls upside down over them. Jamie, still holding the reins, is dragged along until he lets go. Burnett leaps from the saddle and runs to the women. He urges them back under the wagon and joins them. The cattle either avoid the wagon or jump over it. It remains intact. Jamie, sprawled on the ground, sits up and shoots to ward off the approaching stampede. He scrambles to his feet and jumps up onto the wall of the canyon, but loses his footing and falls. The cattle having passed the upturned wagon, Burnett helps Martha to get out from under it. They all look across to where Jamie lies face down in the dirt. Burnett runs to the inert Jamie. The women watch as Burnett flips Jamie over onto his back. Burnett lifts him up and, carrying him, staggers towards the women. He stops when he sees Simons on horseback beside the wagon. His teeth gritted and his eyes ablaze, Burnett strides towards Martha and Hillary, who walk to him. They set Jamie down on the ground by the wagon. Burnett stands.
Drop your gun right there.
Simons has his rifle aimed at Burnett, who tosses his gun to the ground. His rifle and his eyes still fixed on Burnett, Simons bends down and throws the gun aside.
Now I'll take the money Taylor paid you for the bull.
Martha, her face covered in dirt, stares at Burnett, who flinches slightly.
I haven't got it. I'll search your corpse if that's the way you want it.
Burnett glances at Martha.
There'll be no need for that. I'll give you the money.
A pained expression on her face, Martha crawls around on the ground until she finds a carpet bag under the wagon. She hauls it out and opens it up. She looks up.
How much were you paid for Vindicator, Mr. Burnett?
$1,000.
With a fixed smile on her face, she hands Simons $1,000.
I'll take all the money. What else you got in there?
Simons glances at the bag. The rifle fires into the air as Burnett seizes the opportunity and wrestles it from Simons. The two men start punching each other as the women watch. Simons tries to stamp on Burnett's head, but misses. Martha scurries over to the rifle and picks it up as Burnett decks Simons, who starts to rise.
Stop it! Do you hear me? Stop it! No wonder there's nothing out here. You're all too busy trying to kill each other. Now, Mr. Simons, I came by my $2,000 honestly, so you'll please give them back to me, and then get out of here.
Look out, Martha! You still got a gun!
So have I!
Simons runs to his horse. Burnett grabs the rifle.
No, no, please let him go. I don't want any killing.
Simons gallops off. Burnett leaps on his horse and gives chase. Simons turns a corner and comes to a dead end. Behind him, Burnett stops to examine the rifle. Simons tries to force his horse up the rock face, but it won't go. So Simons about turns and heads back the way he came. The rifle is jammed. Burnett and Simons charge towards each other. Both horses and men fall to the ground. Burnett rolls over, then staggers to his feet. As a riderless horse gallops away, Burnett walks across to the fallen Simons, who lies on his back, his bloodied head beside a rock. Burnett glances up, his clothes and face covered in dust and grit. Martha and Hillary tend to the injured Jamie by the wagon. Hillary looks up, her mother follows her gaze, and stands as she sees Burnett trudge towards them, his horse behind him. He hands over Martha's money to her. She stares at it, then glares at him.
You killed him.
He didn't give me any choice.
A man is dead. And this boy is hurt. All because of your dishonesty.
Well, that's one way to see it, ma'am.
Blood trickles from a corner of his mouth. Burnett picks up a rope from his saddle and loops one end of it over a metal brake on the wagon. The other end in his hand, he climbs wearily up onto his horse. He turns the horse round and it walks away. The rope grows taut and Burnett pulls the wagon upright. The sun shines as the horse and wagon, with Burnett beside it and two horses and Vindicator tethered to its rear, makes its way past a herd of longhorns. Martha on the seat has the reins, while Hillary is in the back with Jamie.
Out. There's the answer. Take what's due and skin out. Dodge.
Mother, can't Dodge. We stop?
It isn't much farther, dear. And there'd be people there to look after him.
You'll be home soon.
Home? No. Where's my hat?
Jamie tries to sit up, but falls back into Hillary's lap. Burnett leads the way into a fortified little town. The walls are built of stone, and there are substantial dwellings inside it. Martha has put on her jacket and hat as they drive through busy streets, still led by Burnett. Townsfolk stare at them. They come to a halt.
Esteban, Juan, get Jamie inside. He's hurt.
Willing hands grab Jamie.
Please lift him carefully.
Two men carry Jamie into a house, followed by the two women and Burnett. Martha stares aghast when she sees a man at a table at the far side of the room. His wild hair and beard are red. He tucks into a cold roast turkey. A dog lies on the table and another sits beside the man who feeds it.
Here's Jamie, Alex. He's hurt.
Aye, it doesn't surprise me. Felipe comes stumbling in this afternoon with a hole in his shoulder. Ha! Stampede, he says.
He eats turkey and swigs ale.
Do you mean you knew your son was in danger and didn't send help?
Madam, I knew he'd either make it back alive or he would not. In this part of the world, a helping hand comes too late. Now, what do you want?
What do I want? Now, you listen to me. Your son is hurt, and I want to move to a warm room and then bring me some bandages.
You shut your gob, woman. Out here, it's Alexander Bowen what gives the orders, and your women folk listen to what I say. Is that clear to you?
You pompous, foul-smelling tyrant! I want that boy moved where he can be looked after. Now you, and you there, pick him up. And Mr. Burnett, you can certainly help.
Well, don't just stand there, do as she says.
The unconscious Jamie is lifted by the two men. Martha and Hilary follow them as they open a door. Burnett pulls a face at Bowen and walks out with them. Bowen raises his eyebrows appreciatively and grins.
He got a busted arm, bunch of cracked ribs, I don't know what else.
Well, all we can do under these primitive conditions is to keep him down and hope.
I'm sorry about the place.
There are gaps in the roof.
Oh, I'll need something for that roof to keep the weather out.
I've taken care of that.
The rain starts to pour through the roof.
You have?
I told that Esteban to fix the thing.
Burnett leaves the room and Martha finds two large containers.
Undisciplined and shiftless, the whole lot of them.
Yes, but we don't know that about Jamie, do we?
You need this, senora?
No, not in here, up on the roof. I don't want to catch the rain, I want to keep it out. Oh, and pass the information on to those who ought to know that cleanliness is next to godliness.
Si, senora.
She shuts the door on the two men and returns to Hilary, who sits by the bedside in the hovel. Martha pulls up another blanket over Jamie and hugs her daughter.
No, we don't know about Jamie at all.
Day. A hen sits on Vindicator's back. The bull looks totally unconcerned. Bowen and some men ride up. Martha watches with a frown as she sees Bowen and his men ride off with Burnett beside him. All their expressions are grave. She pulls a heavy coat around her and watches them ride out of the gate, the wind whipping up the dust of the dirt track.
Will it be gone very long?
Maybe 4 or 5 days, maybe more. There's much work to do.
Martha looks around.
There certainly is.
Wheels, an axle, sticks, hens, broken baskets all litter the place. The men return to the fort. As he leads the way in, Bowen slows down and starts to look around. All the other men do the same. Bowen rides past a boy sweeping up and a woman cleaning windows. Bowen wears a cape over his shoulders and Burnett a smaller scarf cum cape. The place is really tidy.
That woman's taken over my fort. Right there.
He points at Martha, who's wringing out some laundry in a barrel. Bowen stops and dismounts.
The entire place stinks of laundry soap. Madam, if you didn't care to get snowed in, I'd suggest that you hitch up your wagon and head for Dodge.
I don't intend to head for anywhere until Jamie recovers.
I'm glad to hear it.
She picks up a basket full of laundry and glowers at Burnett.
He's feeling better, if you care to know. And furthermore, we can't leave until you understand how to take care of Vindicator. Now, tomorrow, I would like to go out and select some cows.
Select?
Yes, for breeding purposes.
Madam, out here it's the fit that survive. And if that creature of yours cannot select his own cows, he is not fit to live here. I think it may be a good idea if you take a wee peek at some of these prospective brides you're figuring to match up with that Hereford of yours.
That's precisely my intention.
Ah, good. You come on the morrow, and I'll hunt up a longhorn cow for you. And then you'll see for yourself why I think that bull of yours will not be the father of a calf.
Bowen strides off. Martha hangs out more clothes.
It won't be exactly the kind of a hunt you'd expect, ma'am. Here, can I help with this?
No, thank you, Mr. Burnett. They're clean. I'd like to keep them that way.
Somber-faced, he walks away. Martha turns to watch him. In the now habitable hovel, Hilary takes a tray over to Jamie's bed.
Beef stew?
Chicken broth.
Snake broth, gopher broth, anything but chicken broth. When do I get to eat? I can do that.
Do it then.
His right arm in a sling, he lifts a spoon in his left hand.
Sure would like something to chew.
Chew the spoon.
Hey, you're touchy this morning.
Your father's back. He goes off for a whole week without saying goodbye, then doesn't even stop in to see how you are. What's between you two? You snarl and growl at each other like two wounded animals.
It's always been like that.
But why?
Hillary, don't get involved.
Don't get involved. Jamie Bowen, if you didn't have enough broken bones, I'd certainly add to your collection. I'm surrounded by stubbornness. Sam, Mother, your father, and now you. The only one I can talk to around here is Vindicator. I hate family mysteries. Why does it have to be that way?
I don't know!
He thumps the tray, then winces.
If I knew, I'd tell you, but I don't.
She leans forward to adjust the tray.
Hillary? I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You're going to stay around until I'm back on my feet again, aren't you?
Maybe even a little longer.
She takes the tray and turns as her mother walks in.
Oh, Hillary, we're going out to select some cows tomorrow. Jamie, how are you?
Fine, Mrs. Evans. I just had the best chicken broth you ever tasted. But if you find a loose cow and could slip it past Hillary, I'd eat it. Horns, hooves, hide, everything.
Out on the range, a cow is being rounded up by riders and dogs. Burnett and the two women trot up and watch as the bearded Bowen readies a lasso. The wily longhorn cow races through bracken and up an embankment as a trio of spectators watches. A pursuer is knocked off his horse by the branch of a tree. Another manages to get a lasso round one of the cow's horns, but the cow bucks and keeps running, pulling the man from his horse. The cow slows. With several lassos round its horns, the cow is brought to a complete standstill. Burnett glances at Hillary. Bowen rides up to them.
Do you still think that bull of yours could be her mate?
Mr. Bowen, Vindicator's first calves will weigh half again as much as your longhorn calves, and they'll be hardy.
She can rip him to tatters while he's still dancing. He'll never be getting a calf.
You're mistaken.
Madam, I've lived half my life here. And I tell you, if the longhorns didn't kill him, then the wolves and the winters will.
And I suppose you agree with him.
Sometimes it gets down to 20 below, ma'am.
You can see that beast, Mother.
It's resumed bucking.
A cow? Good Lord.
Hillary, I believe that Vindicator will live long enough on the open range to reproduce. And that's all we can expect of him.
Mother, that's cruel.
Yes, it's cruel. And stupid and savage. But then we live among savage and stupid people. And the only way to convince them is on their own terms. Survival, survival, that's all they understand.
We could build a shelter, keep them alive that way.
I can keep roses alive in a hot house. And you've got a hot house bull, madam.
That's not so. Vindicator does have stamina and fighting spirit, he does. My father bred it into him. And if he has to risk his life to prove it to you, then he will.
A checked scarf round her head and neck, she trots away.
She'll not turn him loose after what she's seen here.
Oh, yes, she will. You forget that my husband died trying to bring Herefords here and prove this very point.
Martha rides away, leaving the two men together.
That woman doesn't fear a thing, eh, Sam?
Nothing but dishonesty and dirt.
Bowen glares at Burnett and rides back to the cow. Burnett, his neckerchief blowing in the wind, lowers his head, then glances up again. As Hillary rides back to the fort, Jamie's outside with a couple of kids.
Do you think your ma has any cold beef in the cupboard?
Sure, Jamie. And my ma has tortillas.
He sees Hillary and hands over a bowl he was holding.
Get out of sight. Conchita, come back later with tortillas.
Jamie lounges back in a chair. Hillary rides straight up to the tethered Vindicator.
All right, Vindicator.
Come on.
She unties him, then spots Jamie and trots over to him.
Jamie, you shouldn't be out here.
Oh, I like to see open sky once in a while. Where are you taking Rosie Red?
Don't call him that.
I'm sorry, Hillary.
I'm taking him out. Far out on the range. And I'm going to leave him there.
Well, there's no point in getting yourself all upset over an old bull.
Vindicator isn't old.
Oh, well, I mean, he's an animal, not a person.
Oh, you are a Bowen. Yes, you are. Insensitive and hateful. You don't even know what this means to me. You can't understand it. And you never will. Come on, Vindicator.
Scowling, she turns away from Jamie and rides off. The bull follows of its own accord. Jamie gets to his feet and watches them trot out of the gate. Out on the range, mountains in the distance, the bull docilely follows the girl on horseback. Hillary keeps looking back at the bull. She stops and it sidles up to her.
You go along now, Vindicator. And don't you come back. Do you hear me? Go along.
Vindicator plods away from her. As she turns, the bull stops. Hillary rides back up to Vindicator.
Vindicator, you've got to stand on your own 4 feet. I mean it. You're a British bull with uncommon good sense and fine ancestors. We've had some fine times together. Now you've got to prove yourself and prove that Father was right. Go on.
As Vindicator trudges away, tears well in Hillary's eyes. The bull walks sedately for a short distance, then breaks into a run. It gallops off. Hillary returns to the fort. Her mother, followed by Burnett and Bowen, come outside.
She turned him loose.
Your lassie's got guts, I'll grant you that.
I suppose you'll be going home now, ma'am.
What for? I mean, what's the rush, Sam? Mistress Evans could pay us a wee visit for a while.
Come summer, you'll see the first crossbred Herefords on this range.
Ach, Sam, no, there's no sense in telling her a lie. This is Longhorn country. And it'll stay Longhorn country, madam. You cannot change it.
Bowen strides indoors. Burnett steps up to Martha.
I meant what I said.
Only I could believe that, Mr. Burnett. It might make a difference. But I made that mistake once, didn't I?
No. Martha, what I did was wrong. I lied to you because I didn't want you and Hillary to turn against me. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
The redhead stares at him, then turns to see her daughter dismount.
I think I'd better go to Hillary.
Burnett watches her go. In their cottage.
Then you're not still mad at me?
No, not particularly. You know, Jamie, there's really nothing to keep us here anymore, is there? Vindicator's out there on the range and you're up and around.
Oh, no, no, wait a minute. I still got cracked ribs and they hurt like the devil. Here.
He hugs her.
See, that's painful. I need attention.
Oh, Jamie, you're breaking my ribs.
Yeah. And I will, too, if that's what it's going to take to keep you here.
He plants a kiss on her lips.
Look, all I got is the two legs I stand on, Hillary. But there's room in this country to make us a place something like Herefordshire.
I don't care what it's like. I don't ever want to leave you.
Martha, standing in the doorway, overhears and sees them embrace. A sad look upon her face, she turns away. Hands in the pockets of her green jacket, she walks away, stops, then takes off the glove on her left hand and removes a ring from her wedding finger. She moves the ring onto the third finger of her right hand, then looks up as snow starts to fall. She pulls up her green scarf to cover her head. She rubs her shoulder, then stops as the snowflakes get bigger. The outcrop. In Bowen's house, a bath is being prepared for him.
It's a ill old road. I'll be in Scotland for ye. Somebody cry. Come on!
Bowen is wrapped in a fur and is helped off with his boots. A bottle of whiskey in one hand, he stands by the bath.
Go away, I don't need witnesses. Get over here. Go away.
The two servants skedaddle. Bowen climbs into the bath, still wearing the fur.
And all the girls will smile at me. Aye!
He sinks down, then stands up again. He slowly eases himself into the tub, drapes the fur over the edge, and brings the bottle to his mouth. Burnett steps inside, the door open behind him. He brushes snow from his clothes.
Don't I just stand there, man. Slam the door.
He looks with surprise at Bowen in the bath.
What are you doing?
What's that look like I'm doing?
You look like a bull in a mud wallow. Look, we got a blizzard on our hands out there. The glass is still dropping.
Ah, that's grand. I'll not be able to travel in such weather, but wondering how to keep it here short of violence. How do I smell, Sam? Do I smell grand now?
You smell like an old buffalo.
Oh, that's not me, that's a robe.
Alex, I'm going out and find Vindicator and bring him back here until this weather lets up.
Let nature take its course, man.
But I can save him.
Who wants to save him? After he's no more here, Mr. Sevens will see that I was right about this place. And then she may get a wee glimmer that I could be right about some other things.
Well, it doesn't take any brains to let a bull die in a blizzard.
Aye, but it takes a great deal to turn loose of the past, and that's exactly what I want her to do. I want her to forget all about Herefords and think about me.
Oh?
I made up my mind. I'm going to wed that woman.
You're going to wed her?
I.
But, Bowen, Mrs. Evans is a lady. She's an English lady. She didn't come all the way out here to marry an old grizzly bear like you.
Ah, she will, I tell you. Once that bull is dead and gone, she'll turn her attention to me. Alexander Bowen.
Burnett leaves.
Every laddie has his lassie. Mean to say, aye.
The corked bottle floats as Bowen soaps his dirty body and feet. Burnett is out on the snow-covered range with two ranch hands.
Anything?
That bull has vanished, senor.
If he smiled like you say, he headed for the Gulf of Mexico last week.
A man cannot find a thing in the snow.
Now, listen close. Listen. You try it. Keep it up loud. We'll make another swing.
The three of them set off in different directions. They return empty-handed to the fort.
Sam, tomorrow I'm going with you.
No, you're not well enough.
Oh, I've been doing cartwheels for weeks. Hillary and Mrs. Evans are worried after death about you.
It's your job to keep them from worrying. Come on, let's get in out of the cold.
He ushers Jamie away. The range, wolves stare at a carcass. Burnett rides close to the scene. He stops and watches before reaching back for his rifle. The wolves scatter. Burnett urges his horse forward, its hooves sinking in the snow. It plows through onto firmer ground. The carcass is that of a longhorn. Burnett holsters his rifle and looks around. At the fort, Bowen strides through the snow towards a house.
Mistress Evans.
He doffs his hat.
I'm serving tea at about 4 o'clock this afternoon. I wondered if you'd care to come.
Tea? Why, thank you very much, Mr. Bowen.
Ah, that could be a nice change for you. At 4, then.
All right, children. Stand up now. We're going to sing America. 1, 2, 3.
Thy country's a bee.
Miss Evans, good day to you.
To Jamie.
Up and about, are you?
Do you feel sprightly enough to run off again?
I'm through running. I'm going to find me my own place.
Ah, that sounds easy when you say it, but it's not. Life out here is hard, laddie.
Yeah, well, don't do anything to make it any softer.
What are you referring to?
Oh, like maybe you could build some sheds for the stock and lay in some winter feed and repair this godforsaken place?
You've been listening to that wee lassie.
You bet. And it's the first sense I've heard in all this part of Texas.
Bowen grimaces and walks to his door.
Oh, I'm serving tea at 4 o'clock this afternoon. You may bring Miss Evans if you care to.
A bemused look crosses Jamie's face. Martha, Hillary and Jamie are in Bowen's house. A silver service tea set is on the table.
The master will join you presently.
Spurs jangle on Esteban's heels. Smiling, they move to the table.
My, aren't we formal?
Scones and jam are on the table. Another polished table has a silver candlestick on it. Dressed in tartan trews with a plaid sash and a red doublet, Bowen comes downstairs playing the bagpipes. His hair has been cut, his facial hair has been shaved, leaving him just a bright red moustache. At the bottom of the stairs, he turns to face his guests.
A Highland officer?
91st Argyle. Foot. You didn't recognize me in my uniform, do you, Jamie? Nah, you couldn't. You're only a wee lad, then. It's the first time I scraped my face since I left my regiment. Would you care to pour, Mrs. Evans?
He stretches out his hand to her. She takes it.
Stephen has made us some scones. He's quite a good cook.
The ladies sit at the table.
Stephen, you scoundrel.
Bowen tosses him the bagpipes.
I thought you were 100 years older than Sam.
Approve of the change, dear.
The trouble with appearances, Mr. Bowen, is while beauty is skin deep, meanness runs all the way through.
What's that you're saying?
She's saying that bagpipes and tea don't erase the way you've treated Jamie.
Well, I did the best I could, lassie. And I couldn't help it if he didn't have a mother's tender care.
All these years, you've hardly ever spoken to him.
It doesn't suit my purpose to discuss the past.
You mean my mother?
Aye. And what could I have said to you, Jamie? She was ailing when you were born. And she died. And all the words in the world can I bring her back. For your husband. Mistress Evans, you have captured my entire fort and all of its inhabitants. Oh, you've got them eaten out of your wee hand.
He beats her from the table.
It's true. And you've made attachments here yourself, dear lady. To Jamie and to the school children. And I just wish... I mean, I've been hoping that you could find it in your heart to make a similar attachment to me.
Martha walks away from him.
Given a wee while, of course, I wouldn't want to rush you. And I want you to think about making your home here in Texas. You and your lassie. She likes it here, by the looks of things.
Ach, what I'm trying to say is that it could be such a grand life for us all.
Her eyes glaze over, then she looks at him.
It would never be like Herefordshire.
Aye, and it's not like Scotland either.
But when I first came here, I made up my mind I was going to accept the land as I found it. That's what you must do because you cannot change it. And if you're still thinking that I'm responsible because Hereford cattle cannot adapt themselves to Texas and that I shattered that lovely dream you shared with your husband, that's not true. You cannot live with dreams. It's time to stop dreaming and live for this day and the next day.
Time for me to admit that this is Longhorn country and that you're its lord and master.
Now, mine in love is not even lord nor master himself.
She rescues her hands from between his and returns to the table. He pulls out her chair.
I'd like to change the climate for you if I could.
One of the ranch hands bursts in, snow on his jacket. He stares at Bowen.
Well, what are you looking at, man?
Is that you, Senor Bowen?
No, I'm Bonnie Prince Ruddy Charlie. What do you want?
I lost touch with him.
With who?
Senor Burnett. I could hear him whistling, but he was gone. I could not find him. The snow was too heavy.
Is he lost?
No, no, senor. Maybe he has troubles, but Senor Burnett is not lost.
Fetch them in. Get out of here. Saddle my horse.
I'll come too. We'll find him.
They all go, leaving the two women. Burnett rides the range. The snow is much deeper. His horse struggles to keep its footing, sinking several times up to its belly. Burnett, wearing a thick coat, tries to keep hold of the reins. The horse tramples through the deep snow. Now on foot, Burnett leads it towards a rock. His rifle in his hands, he uses its stock like a shovel to dig away snow. He flicks some more with his boot. A group of riders try to follow his path. Burnett is buried in the snow beside the rock, only his hat, shoulders and head are above the snow. Leading the riders is Bowen. He stops and fires his rifle. There's no movement from Burnett. Slowly he raises his head and blinks. He raises his rifle and cocks it. His horse is startled. Bowen hears the shots and sets off. Burnett gulps down a mug containing whiskey. Bowen beside him has a half bottle in his hand and pours some more. Burnett glugs it down, wipes his mouth and stares at Bowen.
I've been wondering for years what you were hiding behind that beard of yours.
I told you before, a man can change.
All right, you've changed. I'm sure Mrs. Evans approves. Well, I haven't changed. That Hereford bull's out here somewhere, and I'm going to find him.
Do you think you'll be fit to travel?
Of course I'm fit to travel.
He clambers to his feet and falls over. Bowen's men help Burnett to his feet. They half drag, half carry him to his horse and help him on. Bowen takes a healthy swig from the bottle. They all arrive back at the fort. again, Bowen's men help Burnett, and they almost carry him past Martha and Hillary into the house.
Oh, quit shoving. I can walk. Walk?
Come over here, Sam. Hillary, get some coffee. Sam, I don't want you to go out there anymore. Do you understand?
You think Vindicator's dead, too?
Yes, but that doesn't matter now.
I'll do this.
Hillary hands Burnett a mug of coffee. Martha and Bowen exchange a look.
There isn't anything worth the risk you're taking, Sam.
There isn't?
No. This is Longhorn country. Let's face it and be done with it once and for all.
Well, I'm not done with it. You planted an idea in me, Mrs. Evans, and the roots went deep. I think Vindicator is as good or better than any Longhorn alive. And come summer, there's going to be crossbreed Herefords on this range. You just wait and see.
Ha! Not in this range.
Now, just because you shaved and took a bath, don't be so high and mighty about everything. You don't know Hereford stock.
Sam Burnett, I gave you my permission to clear the range of any crossbreed calves you can find. Take them, they're yours. But don't worry us about it anymore. It's not good for Mr. Sevens to hear you constantly dragging up the past. Besides, I've asked her to wed me, and she hasn't exactly said no.
The unshaven Burnett screws up his weary eyes.
Seems to me like you've broken faith with everything that brought you here.
I've never been a person to avoid facing facts, Mr. Burnett. And you should know that. I was wrong about this country, and I admit it.
Well, then your husband was wrong about Herefords, too.
Yes, all right, yes. But there are other things to consider. There's Hillary and Jamie, and life must go on.
Burnett glances round at the two youngsters, then at Bowen. He sets down his coffee mug.
All right, Alex. I'll take the crossbreed Herefords I find, and I'll build a place for them.
Sam, don't. Can't you see it's over?
Not for me. Not for me.
Yeah, my hand.
The two ranch hands follow Burnett out. Bowen shuts the door.
He's hell-bent for disaster out there. There's no stopping him.
Amidst the greens and browns of the range, cowhands round up cattle. One longhorn collapses onto the ground. Jamie dismounts, picks up his rifle, and shoots the dying animal. Hillary, watching nearby, flinches. She turns and sees Sam Burnett approach.
Jamie, here's Sam.
Jamie remounts. They both ride over to Sam.
Hillary? Jamie?
Sam?
Well, you're driving them in, huh?
Yeah, a lot of them aren't up to it. Dad says he can't remember a worse winter.
We haven't seen much of you, Sam. How have you been?
I'm fine. Fine. Building a place.
Yeah, Juan was telling me.
Oh, Juan, he comes out every once in a while and lends a hand.
I'd like to see it, Sam.
Not until it's finished. I'm working on the cabin pens now. Waiting.
Hillary and Jamie gaze at him.
Well, I'll be moving along.
They watch him anxiously as he goes, a woolen scarf wrapped around his neck. His horse pulls up. The horse, spooked, moves from side to side. Sam looks down at a patch of snow. There's a dark mark in the middle of it.
Oh, boy.
Sam calms the horse, then dismounts. He kneels down beside the mark and starts to rub the snow, uncovering a brown hide. Hillary and Jamie ride towards him. Sam closes his eyes and lowers his head as he finds a patch of white on the brown hide. Jamie and Hillary run up and see it.
It's Vindicator, isn't it?
Sam nods and looks up.
A lot of Longhorns died too. We knew what to expect, Sam.
Now, I want you to tell Bowen. You tell him that this doesn't mean there won't be calves. You tell him that. You tell them both.
Jamie leads Hillary away from Sam, who stares at the exposed hide of the dead bull in the snow. He remains crouched low for a time, then rises and watches the cattle being rounded up. Another day. The sun shines as Sam rides the range. He sees cattle in the distance. Another day he rides the range, and another. He comes upon some calves near their mothers. He studies them as he rides past. He blinks and wipes his eyes under the heat of the sun. He rescues a calf from a bush. It has no horns. Sam feels its head, releases it, then shakes his own head. A bright sunny day, Hillary, all smiles, rides up to Sam's small holding.
Hello, Hillary.
Hello, Sam. Juan directed me how to get here.
Oh, it's not hard to find. Jamie knows it. He's been out here lots of times.
Yes. Well, Jamie and I aren't on very good terms at the moment.
Oh, I see.
Could I talk to you for a little bit,
Sam?
Oh,
sure.
He helps her dismount.
Thank you.
I have some medium hot coffee in there. Would you like some?
Oh, yes, thanks.
They head to a flat-roofed house.
Here, I'll let you take the real chair.
Oh, thanks.
I'm just finishing up the calf pens. I built two corrals up in the canyon.
He goes inside.
Do you still think there will be calves?
Yes, I do. You see, it's only the end of June. Vindicator could have lasted longer than anybody expected. You could see his calves clear in October.
I see.
He pours coffee for both. She drinks, then turns to him.
What did you say this was, Sam?
Coffee. I'm sorry about you and Jamie. You two have a fight?
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. You see, everything's become so complicated. It's just that Jamie asked me to marry him.
Well, I think that's fine.
And I said no.
Oh, you don't love him?
Yes, I do. Very much.
Well,
but don't you see? If I marry Jamie, then Mother will have to marry Mr. Bowen.
No, I'm afraid I don't follow you.
Sam, don't you ever think about Mother?
Think about her? I think about her all the time. I have this place here and this idea, and that's more than I ever had in my whole life before. And your mother made this all possible for me, and it means a lot.
Well, then, it's not right for you to keep all these things to yourself. It's not fair. Mother needs you.
No, I'm afraid I'm not very good at figuring out problems, especially other people's. All I know is that I'm tied to this idea here that your mother gave me, and I'm just bound to go through with it.
But it'll be too late, Sam. Mother and Mr. Bowen...
Your mother will make her own decision, and that's as it should be. But you ought to make yours, too, Hillary. Now, if you love Jamie, I think you ought to go up and tell him so and marry him.
She gets to her feet and hands him her mug. She stares into the distance.
You think I should?
I sure do.
Biting her gloves, she strolls away from him and sighs.
Well, thanks for the coffee. I'm glad I came out here to see you.
I'm glad you did too.
She kisses him on the cheek and walks, then runs to her horse. He helps her up and hands her the reins.
Come back, Sam.
He watches her ride away. The wrinkles around his eyes fade and his face seems to relax as he sinks deep into thought. A young boy rides a saddle outside Bowen's house. Bowen comes out carrying a bunch of flowers. He ruffles the boy's hair. He catches a ball and throws it for kids to chase as he makes his way to Martha's.
That's a grand day. Get out of there, you beast, yeah.
A goat tries to eat his flowers unsuccessfully. He touches some herbs on the building before going to the door. Martha, dressed in lilac, opens the door.
Oh, it's a grand day, Mistress Evans. We've got plans to make.
Oh, how thoughtful of you.
What I mean to say is that it's urgent.
They're
that
lovely.
It's urgent that we make haste. We ought to be thinking about setting a time.
She stares anxiously at him, then walks away. He follows.
Very well, Alex. September, then. Late in September.
You're no still hoping that there'll be some crossbreed calves.
I suppose so. I can't seem to help myself.
It's because that lunatic is still out here searching. Well, he's bound to fail, I tell you. You see that, don't you?
Yes, I know. But until September, that's not too much to ask, is it?
Oh, no. He's certain to give up by then. I agree. September it is.
He kisses her hand, then strides off. She smiles, gazes at the flowers, then into the distance. Day. Sam is on the range alone. He comes upon a brown calf. It rises and walks away. He doesn't follow it. Another day. Wearing a jacket, he pulls up his horse and sees a calf in the distance. He screws up his eyes for a better look. The calf is brown with white patches. His eyes fixed on the calf, Sam dismounts and walks towards it. As he nears it, he smiles. He walks right up to the Hereford Cross. Its whole head is white, and its belly, and a strip down its back. Its longhorn mother watches Sam cuddle it.
I'm going to borrow for a little while. Don't you worry.
He picks it up in his arms. The mother follows him down the hillside to his horse. Still holding the calf, he rides with the longhorn cow following close behind. Sam enters the fort. The ranch hands and wives run after him. Hillary comes outside and spots him pass.
Jamie, there's Sam!
You got a white face.
Sam carries it into Bowen's house. Bowen and Martha are sitting having tea. Her back is to Sam. Bowen stands and Martha spins round. He almost drops it as he nears her. She squats down. Sam takes off his hat.
This is what you came here for, Martha. There's Hereford crossbreeds on this range.
Well, that calf will make a fine wedding present, Sam.
I told you I'd be back when I found a crossbreed. Well, there's the first one.
You take your hand off that woman, Sam Burnett.
And there'll be more white face, but I'm going to need you, Martha.
Did you hear what I said? I said take your hand off or you go to here.
Sam punches Bowen, who lands on a longhorn chair and breaks it. Bowen punches Sam, then wraps his thick arms around him. They bang against a wall. Unable to break Bowen's grasp, Sam picks up a pot of hot water from the tea set on the table and pours it on Bowen's hands. The Hereford Cross calf watches from under the stairs. The fight continues. Bowen throws Sam against the door and the two of them end up outside. Bowen leaps on Sam and pushes him back against his horse, then drags him up onto his feet. Only to punch him back down again. Martha runs to Sam.
Oh, Sam. Sam. Alex, I
can see for myself, woman. Well, it's Hereford country, and you can raise the bloody things. Raise them if you can, I say.
That's just what we're going to do. And before we're finished, you're going to see crossbreed Hereford all over this range. Ha!
Bowen shuts his door, then opens it.
Yeah, take that one, will you?
The Hereford cross calf. Cattle roam aimlessly over the range. A small Hereford cross calf trots towards the head as Martha and Sam ride nearby.
That one looks like one of the first dozen, Martha.
I'm glad we kept some longhorn, Sam, for old time's sake.
So am I. Getting pretty scarce.
They see Hillary and Jamie ride towards them.
There. Watch that one now.
An unresponsive bull.
You still think one of them will come to you?
No, not really. Sometimes a bit of him catches my eye. I like to think he's still out there, somewhere.
They trot through the herd towards Martha and Sam, the strong white face of a Hereford cross. The end. ITFC audio description by James O'Hara.